This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Is it rage rhetoric or is it something else? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to be dissecting the issue with regard to the attempted assassination of former President Donald J. Trump. It's a sobering situation, isn't it? In fact, the nations are being sobered up a little bit, maybe not as much as you might think, because rhetoric is very cheap. The same rhetoric that has been used to drive up the tensions that resulted in the attempted assassination are also being used to try to temper it down under false pretenses. In other words, words are cheap. When you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself under the gun, when you find your rear end subject to attack because you have been one of the key participants in stirring up the rhetoric, then all of a sudden, guess what happens? You start getting very peaceful, at least to public perception. And that's exactly what's happening. It's the pretense of peace, the pretense of setting down the rhetoric. It's all a charade. I hate to put it so bluntly, friends. You might think, well, you know, human nature is such that we all do things that aren't quite right, and we do this, that, or the other. Yes, that's true. And human nature is moved by emotions. That's true. But when the emotions are intentionally stirred up for the express purpose of destroying a person so that they cannot enter into the legitimate political process and carry on because they are so desperately feared for some reason, you have a completely different picture. And that's what we want to look at here today on Viewpoint. Because the words that we're hearing, it's all a bunch of words, idle words in many respects. People want to dissect all of the different aspects and so on. And who was this fella Crooks? Well, maybe he was a crook. I don't know. But this fella Crooks, 20 years old, that did the shooting, how was he enabled to do that? They say that he was a sole participant. The FBI says he was a sole actor. Really? How can you say he was a sole actor when he was acting in the context of a Democrat Party who for 8 years had been intentionally stirring up this very kind of venom? No, he was not a sole actor. In fact, we don't know yet whether there was anybody else. They're trying to find out about his cell phone, whether it shows any other interconnections with anybody. It seems to me strange that the FBI is taking so long to find out what they normally can find out almost instantly with somebody's cell phone. You see, everybody has something to protect. The CIA has something to protect. The Secret Service has something to protect. The FBI has something to protect. It's called CYA. Cover your what? Yes, you said it. There's a reason for that little acronym, CYA. Because it says so much about human nature. And it says so much, unfortunately, about our government. Because we come to the place where we can't even take the statement from a president of the United States sitting there in the Oval Office, and we cannot take it even close to face value. That is a shame. That's a very grave shame, my friends. And today on Viewpoint, we want to probe much more deeply into this situation. We don't need to know all the details. We don't need to know all the details. We're in the crosshairs. America and its democracy and its republic was in the crosshairs, and globalists missed by a hair. America was in the crosshairs, but globalists missed by a hair, and they don't know what to do about it. They're at wit's end to know what to do about it. a number of very nice messages. Ivanka Trump's message after assassination attempt on her father. She just thanks the Secret Service, law enforcement for quickly responding. She said, "I love you, Dad." That probably is one of the most honest statements that's been made since the assassination. Attempted assassination. "I love you, Dad." But we're going to take a look at a lot of other statements. The President of the United States made his statement from the Oval Office on Sunday evening. He urged the nation to lower the temperature of political discourse. No, he's the one that needs to lower the temperature of political discourse. He has been choreographing the nation in the way that we have seen. He and his administration, he and his Department of Injustice, he and his representatives in Congress, he and his CIA, he and his Homeland Security, Insecurity, all of his representatives have been the ones to choreograph the rage in America. And then the citizenry following under that leadership follows in good order. It's like the Pied Piper leading the people over the cliff. So the president is right. We should lower the temperature of political discourse. But for him to say that is massive hypocrisy. To refrain from violence, he said in an address from the Oval Office yesterday, speaking 24 hours after his election rival Donald Trump survived an assassination attempt. Biden says there's no place in America for this kind of violence. Any violence, period. No exceptions. We can't allow this violence to be normalized. He's the one that facilitated it. He's the one that facilitated it, whether it comes from George Floyd out there in Minnesota, whether it comes from Charlottesville, where he accused Donald Trump of supporting Nazis. He is the one that has choreographed it all. So for him to say that there's no place for this kind of violence in America, any violence, just doesn't have a true ring to it. There's no connection with his conscience. It's as if he doesn't even have a conscience. He just uses words because he got caught. His entire movement has gotten caught in the ultimate expression of his violent intentions to prevent Donald Trump from becoming the next president of the United States because of one thing and one thing only. He said he was going to make America great again. If you do not understand the interconnection between those words and what has happened, you have no sense whatsoever of what's happening in American politics today or even global politics, because that is the central issue. That's the central issue. He said, that is, Mr. Biden said, politics must never be a little battlefield and, God forbid, a killing field. But that's exactly what he's choreographed for the past 5 years. To kill Biden Trump, to kill Mr. Trump. How? Economically? Yes. Emotionally? Yes. Business-wise? Yes. Politically? Yes. The only thing was left was what?
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're taking a very careful look, a different kind of look, at what happened in this attempted assassination, why it took place. The FBI says they're just terrified, looking for somebody with this Thomas Crooks who did the shooting. He must give us some revelation to why this happened. We don't have to go to him to find out why it happened. He was just an expression of that which had been choreographed from the Biden administration for the and the Hillary Clinton administration or effort earlier for the past 8 years to destroy Donald Trump. It's very simple. It does not take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure it out. You say, well, but you can't prove the case. It's not a matter of proving the case, friends. It's a matter of reasonable minds be able to discern what is happening and why. It's not a matter of criminal prosecution. It's a matter of reasonable minds determining and discerning the motivations, what is happening, and why it is happening. And it doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer, a New York lawyer, or a rocket scientist to figure it out. It's plain on its face. So we have words like Nancy Pelosi. She's grateful that Trump is safe after the shooting, emphasizing that political violence of any kind is no place in our society. Yet that's exactly what she did through the January 6th prosecution, friends. She herself admitted just a few weeks ago, before her daughter on camera, admitted that she was responsible for what happened on January 6th. She is the one who refused Donald Trump's offer of National Guard to protect the situation and did not accept it. Why did she accept it? Because she wanted to choreograph exactly what happened there on January 6th. That's why. And then she has the temerity to come before the American people and say how grateful she is that Trump is safe. She's tried to destroy him from the beginning with every effort she could muster under color of law. Chuck Schumer comes out and says he's horrified by the incident. No, what he's horrified by is that the shooter didn't complete the job. Because if the shooter had completed the job, which he had well intended to do, then all of these other people, oh, yeah, they would be expressing public grief, but private ecstasy. Because now they can proceed. They're no longer going to have this guy standing in the way who says he's going to make America great again, and they say, no, we're going to embrace a global government under the Great Reset, and we have set the stage for it, and now you're intervening, and we ain't going to let it happen. That's the issue, friends. Then you have A.G. Garland, Attorney General Garland. Bless his soul. He condemns the horrific attack. He said, my heart is with the former president and those injured in the family of the spectator killed in the horror. If his heart was with it, then why has he choreographed all of these legal battles against Donald Trump and made up certain situations and then refused even to back down when it was proven, obviously, that they were ill-gotten, that the attacks, the legal attacks, were not proper, including the one that just fell down today concerning the documents that he himself, Garland himself, choreographed through Jack Smith, who the court now today said was not properly and constitutionally placed in the role to carry on the case from the get-go. In other words, the government, through Jack Smith, had no standing to bring the case against Donald Trump. And 90 pages of the judge's verdict or judgment has cast out the case right here on the edge of the Republican convention. Who would have ever believed this? I mean, what it's revealing is that Mr. Garland, Attorney General Garland, is up to his eyeballs in this violence. It's just taken the form of legal violence. It's under color of law to try to get by with what you can to destroy people. Then he says the FBI is still working to determine the motive behind the shooting. Really? How can we trust those words? When Mr. Garland and his predecessor, Comey, have done everything they could to choreograph the FBI to lie, cheat, steal, to use the legal system inappropriately, contrary to the Constitution. No, you can't trust these people. He does not mean what he says. They will do everything they can to cover up rather than expose. They don't want to expose because it's going to reveal, if they did, it would reveal even the more so the culpability of those in both the Democrat Party, the Biden administration, and also many Republicans who are dedicated globalists. I'm not hesitating to say these things, friends, because they're true. They're true. Now, when I say they're true, I do not mean to say that I can prove this at this point in a court of law. That's not the issue. And I'm going to bring up a legal process that will help us perhaps to understand what we're talking about here. Perhaps one of the most honest statements that was made was by the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos. He went on X and added his voice to a chorus of support for former President Donald Trump. He said, quote, "Our former president showed tremendous grace and courage under literal fire tonight. So thankful for his safety and so sad for the victims and their families." That's probably one of the most honest statements from a public figure yet concerning the attempted assassination. His heart was really in it. Now, those things having been said, we wanted to probe a little bit deeper into some of the other aspects of this, discuss it with an open and honest heart, mind. You see, our heart has to be connected with our mind. God gave us minds to use. American liberty, American democracy, American freedom, and the Constitution, and the hope, the last best hope of earth, were placed in the crosshairs by the Biden administration that choreographed massive numbers of Americans into a kind of visceral hatred that had no real foundations in fact, other than one fact, and that is that Donald Trump said he was going to make America great again, and those at the head said, not so fast, we have another agenda. We're going to give up American sovereignty and the American people and choreograph America into a nice, cozy relationship with a new global order and the Great Reset. And it's all set for 2030. That's just 6 years away, friends. 6 years away. And they saw the goal was there. And they said, we cannot possibly not keep that goal. And this man is the one figure standing in the way. We've done everything we can to take him down. We brought two impeachments against him that have failed. Hillary Clinton did everything she could during her campaign in 2016 to take Donald Trump out. She accused everyone who followed him as a basket of deplorables. Now, that was language that was calculated to completely alienate half of the country, wasn't it? Of course it was. It is Hillary Clinton, you'll recall, that did everything she could to create the phony Russiagate issue charges against Donald Trump. Totally made up. Hillary Clinton did that. And then she has the temerity to say that Donald Trump is like Hitler? And you got to take him out because he's going to destroy America. He's going to destroy democracy. There's not going to be a country left. No, she is the one that did those things, not Donald Trump. All he's had to do is try to protect himself against this onslaught, which was choreographed by the media. So the media became complicit with the Biden administration and before that with Hillary Clinton. If we really are honest, we'll go back and we'll see what really happened. It's a whole series of things that happened, and they were done intentionally. So let me ask you a question. Every American, almost every American, is familiar with the phrase, you can't cry fire in a crowded theater and not expect repercussions. In other words, not expect consequences. You don't have the freedom to cry fire in a crowded theater. But that's exactly what Hillary did. That's exactly what Joe Biden has done. That's exactly what Merrick Garland has done. That's exactly what Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, all of them have choreographed their efforts to bring the pressure in America to this point. That's the environment in which Thomas Crooks fired his rifle. They cried fire. And he shot. So who's responsible? If they conclude that Donald Trump was responsible for all the nefarious folk there in January 6th going into the Capitol, which he so urged them not to do, but if they say he's responsible for that, then what are they responsible for? They did even worse. Are you beginning to see? It's kind of like the kettle calling the pot black. And their cries for peace are a pretense of peace. They're not interested in peace. They're interested in covering their rear ends so that they don't have to bear the responsibility, ultimately the culpability, of the fallout of an attempted assassination that would have taken out their chief opposition so that they could have carried on with their global agenda. You see, there are some politics that are so important to people that they will do anything, even kill people, kill their opposition, just like Vladimir Putin did with Mr. Navalny there in Russia. Are you listening? And now Mr. Putin has taken the opportunity to arrest Navalny's wife because even though she's out of the country, she still has the temerity to stand for freedom in Russia. Yet the people through the Biden administration have been acting like Russians. That's what they've been doing. All right, so we continue on to take a look at what's happening. And I think that one of the key phrases comes from someone who we would not usually expect to comment on these issues. And that is from a former doctor who was seen as one of the greatest medical doctors of all time. He then became the Secretary of Health and Human Resources. You know who we're talking about? You know who we're talking about? He's a peaceful guy. Never a word that seems unpeaceful for him, a Christian man. And he says, this was all set up. Ben Carson. We'll talk about him when we get back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
What lies at the root of the attempted assassination, and what will be the fallout? Well, the fallout, politically, has already been seen. This spelled the death knell, so to speak, of the driving engine of the Biden administration, the globalists, both Democrat and Republican, to take Donald Trump out and to prevent him from becoming the next president of the United States. It has so shaken their efforts, and it was only by a split of a hair. America and the future was in the crosshairs, and the globalists missed by a hair because Donald Trump happened to turn his head at the last moment. Now, was that an act of God? I'm not here to tell you it was an act of God, but for God, as the Ghanaians say, Jina Mi, but for God, probably he'd be dead. And we would be heading rapidly into a new world order without any resistance whatsoever, because that was the goal. As John Kerry said, just before Biden's inauguration, he said, the inauguration of Joe Biden will be the catapulting factor to lead America and the world into the new world order. That's what he said. You can think whatever you want about it. I'm telling you what he said. And he's a consummate globalist. Up to his eyeballs there with the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and Joe Biden, used for his campaign verbiage, his campaign signal. He used exactly the words that came from Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, Build Back Better. Remember? Oh, how we have such short memories. Such short memories, and we don't connect the dots here in America. Part of the reason we don't connect the dots is because we don't connect the dots with God's word. We do not understand what God has said in his word concerning the amalgamation of the peoples of the world, particularly the Western world, into a global order, the resurrection of the ancient Roman Empire, which has been accomplished through the reestablishment of NATO and its extension, incorporating all the nations now of the former ancient Roman Empire to its farthest extent, including now the effort to bring in New Zealand, Australia, and then some Far Eastern nations that have adopted more Western ideas like Japan and Taiwan, and bring them in to this new Western world, global world order. That, by the way, the Pope himself is calling for, and two previous popes before him called for, but Pope Francis is the strongest voice to bring that about. So let's talk to Ben Carson for a moment. Ben Carson made a statement. He said, they tried to bankrupt him. They tried to slander him. They tried to imprison him. And now they tried to kill him. But if God is protecting him, they'll never succeed. Now, I'm not going to try to expand on what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. This is the quiet and gentle Dr. Ben Carson. So, it all began in 2015 when Donald J. Trump descended from the escalator in Trump Tower and declared he was going to make America great again, and they determined to criminalize everything that he would do and to destroy any means, legal or otherwise, by which they would destroy him. Two impeachments, totally concocted Russiagate, Hillary Clinton began the onslaught in 2016, Trump's Nation of Deplorables, remember that, 51 CIA and security leaders concocted totally false allegations of Russian collusion to try to turn the tide of the 2020 election, a barrage of criminal and civil lawsuits, and when all else fails, what's left? When all else fails, when you haven't been able to accomplish your agenda to take the man out, now what do you do? Think about it. The respected lawyer, Jonathan Turley, constitutional lawyer, talks about rage rhetoric that knowingly create extremist actions. And we know all about this. Everybody knows about it. You don't cry fire in a crowded theater when there's no reason to cry fire. You don't do it. And there are going to be horrible consequences. People are going to die. And you're going to be responsible. Whether you want or think you're responsible just because you made the cry doesn't mean you're not going to be responsible. You are. You set up the causative connection, causation. You set up the causation that resulted through gross negligent or intentional misconduct to bring about horrific damages. Can be proven in a court of law. Turley says that an out-of-control extremist tried to assassinate President Donald Trump during a campaign event, but it wasn't a surprise. In fact, it shouldn't have been a big surprise at all, he said. It's because for months, politicians, the press, and pundits have escalated reckless rhetoric in this campaign. They include in claims that Trump was set to kill democracy, unleash death squads, and make homosexuals and reporters disappear. That's the verdict delivered from Jonathan Turley, a prominent legal commentator and constitutional expert who uses his words very carefully. He explained that President Biden has stoked this rage rhetoric. In 2022, Biden held his controversial speech before Independence Hall, where he had denounced Trump supporters as enemies of the people. Biden recently referenced the speech and has embraced the claims that this could be our last Democratic election. Remember that? And he has the temerity, that is Biden, has the temerity to come out and talk about how peaceful he is and how much he wants to reduce the rhetoric? No, he has been the driving force of the rhetoric. He and his administration and those in his campaign. Turley went on to say, rage is addictive and contagious. It's also liberating. It allows people a sense of license to take actions that would ordinarily be viewed as repulsive. And that's what happened with Mr. Biden, choreographed and facilitated the raging of Antifa across the country in response to the George Floyd situation. And then in Charlottesville, accused Donald Trump of whatever happened in Charlottesville and characterized and tried to cover Donald Trump with all of that. It was Mr. Biden that did that. It started as soon as Trump was elected with entertainer Kathy Griffin's stunt where she held a bloody severed head of Trump. Remember that? And then you had Representative Dan Goldman of New York, Democrat, declared Trump is not only unfit, he's destructive to our democracy and has to be eliminated. Did you hear that? Has to be eliminated. What do you think that means? Honestly, what do you think that means? Had nothing to do with an election. They don't care about elections. Unless, of course, you can steal the election and make it appear as if it were right. In other words, whatever you have to do, by whatever means you have to do it, to get rid of this man who stands in the way of the new global order, that's what we have to do. Now, where does that lead? Sources close to former President Donald Trump, like Michael Schellenberger, said that the head of Trump's security detail had requested additional security resources, but was denied by the director of the Secret Service, Kimberly Chittle. On Sunday, the Secret Service's chief of communications, Anthony Guglielmo, said it was an untrue assertion that a member of the former president's team requested additional security resources and that those were rebuffed. He said that's absolutely false. So who do you believe? You can't believe a single word the administration tells you. They've proven that. They've told you that they have immigration under control, but they didn't. One security expert warned Trump directly that his detail was inadequate. Smaller than President Joe Biden's. Why? Did they intentionally leave the way open? That should be a big question, friends. A cop confronted the Trump shooter before the gunfire. Another witness saw the man moving from roof to roof. Why didn't the Secret Service see that? Is it because they were too short-handed, because they refused to provide the necessary cover? Or is it because they just left the way open for such a thing to take place? They welcomed it, did they? How is it that this guy crawled up on a white roof, visible to the Secret Service, and even law enforcement saw him, people saw him, but they did nothing? What does that tell you? What kind of evidence do you need as a reasonable person? Let's say you're a jury, 12 reasonable men and women, and you hear and you know this kind of information. What is your general direction in terms of thinking? Obviously, something was wrong here. They didn't cover. Why didn't they cover? Why didn't the Secret Service cover? Where's that question coming up? We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint, responding to the attempted assassination and providing some additional thoughts, viewpoints to respond. And it's not because we're trying to stir up response in anger and vitriol. It's we need to be honest with ourselves. Right now, there's almost no attempt, really, to be honest. Everybody's doing the CIA thing, CYA thing. The whole administration, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, the Biden administration in its whole, the Department of Justice, they are all spinning a web of deceit to protect themselves because they know in their hearts they are dead bang guilty of doing that which they are now supposedly opposing. They're the leaders, and they know why they were leaders. Now, the roof was a mere about 150 meters away from where Trump was speaking. 150 meters away. Now, for purposes of selective service, not selective service, but the people that are supposed to be protecting the president, that's not very far. That's not very far at all. And it was very obvious. He was in the direct line of sight. Direct line of sight. A white roof. And it had been the staging area for the local police. So they were well aware of that particular building and the roof and its location in the line of sight. So the local law enforcement and the CIA were both aware of that location and its dangerous location. So where was the Secret Service? Where was it? Was it just a little cadre of people up there around the platform that could make it look like they were really trying to protect the president? Or was there something else going on of a bigger nature that perhaps was not disclosed even to those agents that allowed the way to be left open? As Donald Trump said, it was God and God alone who prevented the unthinkable. I agree. Do you agree? Or was it just happenstance? Interestingly, Elon Musk, a very brilliant person, whether you agree with all of his politics or any, that's not the point. He's a brilliant, brilliant person. He called for the head of the Secret Service as well as the leader of the security detail to resign. Why did he do that? Because he knew they were dead bang guilty of, at the very least, negligence and perhaps mis or malfeasance. He knew that. It's obvious. Donald Trump said, I'm supposed to be dead. Yeah. How would you feel? You escaped assassination by a hair, literally, virtually by a hair. He turned his head to look at a chart, and the gun rang out, the bullet hit his ear. An inch, one way or the other, he would have been dead. I'm supposed to be dead. Why was he supposed to be dead? This article came out in the Jerusalem Post today. Why was Donald Trump supposed to be dead? Please try to answer that question. The reason he was supposed to be dead, friends, is because behind the scenes was a cadre of a massive, dedicated cadre of individuals dedicated to a new world order, a new global order. And they said, we are not going to let this moment pass. We are not going to let this moment pass. Now, did they choreograph Thomas Crook? Did they pay him? Did they do something there? Did they put a suggestion in his mind? I don't know. It's not even necessary to know that for sure. It would be good to know it, but it's not necessary. Why? Because the overall situation is such that but for all of these things that have been going on for the past 8 years, choreographed by the Democrat Party and the Biden administration and Hillary Clinton, this would likely never have happened. The spirit, the environment would not have been there. Right? It's not hard to figure this out. And we're not talking about criminal liability right now. Maybe we could be talking in the nature of civil liability. It would be easier to discuss it if we were talking about, say, in the realm of negligent responsibility or gross negligence. So let's take a look at it from that standpoint. In the law, every lawyer in law school has to learn a Latin phrase. It's called res ipsa loquitur. R-E-S, new word, I-P-S-A, new word, L-O-Q-U-I-T-U-R. It's a Latin term that means the thing speaks for itself. It's a doctrine of common law, but it's also a doctrine in American law. It has been adopted in American law, primarily in the realm of civil cases, and particularly what we call negligent or tort cases. In other words, where there's an injury. Somebody's injured, who's responsible? So you look at the set of facts, you look at the circumstances, and then res ipsa loquitur says, as a doctrine says, if the circumstances line up in such a way that the only reasonable conclusion to draw is that the person accused is negligent, then the finding of negligent will be presumed. Now what happens? Well, from that point on, the burden of proof shifts from the plaintiff to the defendant, because all of the circumstances seem to show where the real responsibility lay. That's what res ipsa loquitur is about. So let's try to apply that here in this case. Under United States common law, res ipsa loquitur has the following requirements. Number one, the event does not normally occur unless someone has acted negligently. Number two, the evidence rules out the possibility that the actions of the plaintiff himself, i.e. Donald Trump, or a third party caused the injury. In other words, somebody there at the rally around him caused the injury. Number three, the type of negligence in question falls within the scope of the defendant's duty to the plaintiff. Well, someone's duty to the plaintiff would mean you have the duty to act reasonably and not to act dangerously and not to fire a gun, not to stir up animosity, not to call fire in a crowded theater or in a rally or in a political campaign, not to make accusations you cannot support, not to... Are you beginning to get the picture? I hope. So let's apply it again. Under United States common law, in the civil court, res ipsa loquitur has the following requirements. The event involved does not normally occur unless someone has acted negligently or with malice aforethought or with gross negligence. In other words, something that is outside the norm of what would be expected a reasonable person to act like with other people. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. So here's the question. Would a shooting like that normally occur unless someone acted either negligently, gross negligently, or intentionally? No, it wouldn't. Therefore, the first category is met, assuming this was a civil case. Secondly, the evidence rules out the possibility that the actions of the plaintiff, i.e. Donald Trump, caused the injury, or that somebody else in his sphere caused the injury. Well, it's obvious they didn't. There's no hint that anybody else did. They had no clue. The only people that had a clue were the Secret Service, potentially, and the local law enforcement. The local law enforcement had a clue because witnesses say they did. The Secret Service should have known because that's their job. And this was the building that was most directly in front of the president. That is their number one job. So they were negligent. At the very least, they were negligent. In fact, if you listen to those who are experts concerning security and so on, every single one of them are saying the security, the secret security was deficient, negligent at the very least. And not only negligent, but that the head of the secret security should be fired, that the one who was appointed to be the leader of the group there at the Trump rally should be fired, and that all of them should be fired. Why? Because they are seen to be, at the very least, negligent, if not grossly negligent. So if this were a civil case, they would most likely lose dramatically in a court of law. But how about those who stirred it up for the past 7 or 8 years? Did they cry fire in a crowded theater? Did they maliciously stir up the American people and people within their realm to carry out deeds that they themselves would not do, but they created an environment to encourage and facilitate others to do, like Thomas Crook? And did, number three, the type of action that occurred in the shooting of Donald Trump fall within the scope of Thomas Crook's duty to Donald Trump? Absolutely, because the duty of every person, as was said by a famous New York court justice, the orbit of duty is the orbit of care as disclosed to the eyes of prudent vigilance. That's the famous phrase coming out of law school. The orbit of duty is the orbit of care as disclosed to the eyes of prudent vigilance. Who in this whole thing had prudent vigilance? It certainly wasn't the Secret Service. It certainly wasn't Thomas Crook. It certainly wasn't the Biden administration. Where's the responsibility? You see, we have to, if we're going to have healing in America, we have to come to a place of accountability and responsibility. Anything else is a pretense of peace. Thanks for joining us. I hope this has been helpful. And I trust that we'll pray for Donald Trump. We're all of those. We're in deep trouble, friends. Our nation is on the verge. In fact, the world is on the verge of some very serious developments, including Israel.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.